From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
It is in this place of holiness that we can come with our fears, our doubts, all the questions of our hearts. We come to this place to hear the words of peace, of hope, of joy God speaks to us. It is in this place of discovery that we can come searching. We come to this place to find the one who has been looking for us. It is in this place of openness that we can come knocking. We come to this place to be embraced by the one whose heart is never locked. Gracious God, we do come before you today with glad and sincere hearts, with humble hearts. And we ask, O God, that as we open ourselves to you, that you would pour in love through the Holy Spirit and mercy and peace. And now we also come praying the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 281, Count Your Blessings.
Thank you.
Our special music this morning is provided by Miss Sarah Bryant. Mr. Alan Mortensen leads the congregation in the prayer for illumination.
Open our eyes, magnificent one, that we may see wonderful things in your word. Through Christ we pray. Amen. This morning's epistle lesson comes to us from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Listen now for the reading of God's holy word. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to the fullness of life in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. This ends the epistle reading.
Let us stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading today will come from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish, or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, Why God?
My mentor used to say that the quickest route between a person and the truth is a story. And I think he must have gotten that idea from Jesus. Because it says of Jesus that when Jesus taught, he didn't say anything without using a story. We all know that he was a storyteller. He used parables to teach. In fact, the Greek word for parable means to lay alongside of or to set beside. In it is the idea of making a comparison. And there are two types of parables in the Gospels. There are parables of likeness, and then there are parables of contrast. And today what we're looking at in our Gospel lesson is a parable of contrast. God is not like the sleepy householder. A friend comes to him in the middle of the night because visitors have unexpectedly arrived. Knocks on the door and he says, hey, I need some bread. I'm out of bread. Can you help me out? And the householder says, man, I'm asleep. So are my kids. I can't get up and help you. I'll wake up the whole house and disturb the animals too. And Jesus says, but because this neighbor keeps on knocking, keeps on knocking, he will help his friend. God is not like that. That's Jesus' point. In fact, we read in the Old Testament that God never sleeps, that God never slumbers, that God is always in a place of readiness to help us when we call out to God for help. But it doesn't seem that way, does it? It doesn't seem that God is alert 24/7 to help us whenever we have need. In fact, I think the most forceful argument against the Christian faith is this. If God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? If God is so good, then why are there terrorists? Why do people get sick with cancer and die? If God is so good, why do we see all of this stuff that seems to suggest that maybe there's not even a God? I recall the first time I thought through this at a deep level. It was about 12 years ago, and I was pastoring a church in southeast Missouri. And there was a young lady in our church. She was 17, 18 years of age, and she had a rough time in high school. But she was starting to get things together. She had gotten a job, and she had enrolled in college for the fall. Things seemed to be going in the right direction for her. It seemed like she had turned a corner. Well, one night she goes to work, and after work she gets off about midnight, and she's driving home. And on her way home from work, she's hit by a drunk driver on the road, and she's instantly killed. Her father was on our church board. He was devastated. The whole entire church was devastated. We had such hopes for her. Things seemed to be going so well, and then her life was snuffed out in an instant. I remember standing before the congregation when we were laying her to rest, and I had really wrestled in my heart, what can I say? I felt this compulsion to defend God and to preserve the faith of God's people. And I remember what I said. I said, God is not the author of evil. God did not cause this. God merely allowed this to happen. And I felt that I had vindicated God, that I had spoke the truth, that I had given an orthodox witness of Christian faith. But today I stand before you and I wonder, is it true what I said? Did God allow this to happen? Is that the kind of God that we serve, that we worship? You see, the phrase, God allowed this to happen, seems to suggest that God is in heaven and God could have stopped what happened, but for some reason unknown to us, for some mysterious reason, God chose not to. God chose not to intervene. Is that the kind of God that we serve? A God who can stop it all, prevent it all, but who chooses not to. You see, I think it's clear from Scripture that there are some things God can't do. I didn't say some things God won't do, but some things God can't do. When we're in confirmation for years, I've taught kids, God is omnipotent. God can do anything. Well, in fact, that isn't true. There are some things God can't do. God can't do anything that is inconsistent with God's nature. For example, Scripture says God can't sin because God is holy. It says God can't lie, because God is truth. It says God can't change. Why? Because God is perfect. And any kind of change would insinuate that God is no longer perfect. It also says God can't save anyone apart from faith. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would come to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And maybe one of the things that God can't do, in addition to the things that I've already named, is God can't force people into submission. Because if God did, that would violate the inviolable. If you were to define God, what word would you choose? If you could choose any word out of the dictionary to say, yes, this is what God is like, what word would you pluck out? 10-15 years ago, I probably would have said power. God is powerful. But now I know that power is something that God has. Now, according to the Scriptures, God is love, right? And what do we know about love? Love, at its very essence, at its very core, is uncontrolling. When you love someone, you do not control them. You let them be free to choose as they wish. Let me illustrate it this way. Suppose one day you're sitting in front of the television and you're going through a hard time, and an advertisement comes on about this doll. And you can buy this doll if you're having issues. Say, for example, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're not pleased with your appearance. Your hair's every which way and you got slobber running out the side of your mouth and you just can't stand the way you look. Well, if you get this doll, you can push a button and the doll will say to you, "You look great." So you go to work and you have a bad day and the boss is all over your back and you're feeling beat down and defeated, you can come home and you can pick up the doll and you press a button and the doll will say to you, "You did a great job today." Or say that your romantic life is on the rocks. Your wife or your husband's all over your back. Or you're single and you can't get a date. No problem. Just pick up the doll and push a button. And the doll says, "I love you. I love you. I love you." All you have to do is buy this doll and 2 AA batteries, insert and push the button, and all of your love needs are met. Would that be satisfying to you? Would that hit you in your sweet spot? No, it wouldn't. Why? Because we know that real love requires freedom. Someone can say yes to you, but unless a real no is an option, then yes means nothing at all. But couldn't God just prevent all the bad stuff? I mean, the really bad stuff, couldn't God just step in then and stop that stuff from happening? I suppose maybe, perhaps that makes sense. But I think then what would happen there is that we would all walk around twitching all the time with the jerks. Because every time I got ready to do something that was wrong or evil, that would mean that God would have to zap me. Oh, you can't take that drink. Zap. Oh, you can't say that bad word. Zap. And we would just be going around twitching and jerking all of the time. That's what would happen. Because you see, the same sin nature that the murderer or the rapist has or the oppressor has, that same nature dwells in me and you. We share a common humanity. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Nobel laureate, put it this way. I love this. He said, "If only it were all so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart?" Let that sink in. Who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? Jesus is the image of God. In Colossians, it says that the fullness of deity dwells in Jesus bodily. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Study Jesus, and you have a perfect picture of God. That's what Scripture is saying. Well, that's interesting because there are two times in the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, where Jesus is getting toward the end of his public ministry. He's approaching the cross, and he one day is looking out over the city of Jerusalem, which is the pearl of the ancient East. And Jesus, perhaps through tears, says these words. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how I long to gather you to myself as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Oh, you can turn on Bot Radio Network or listen to some fundamentalist preacher and they will tell you that everything that happens is the will of God. Jesus himself said that the will of God is not done because we are unwilling. Today, Jesus asked, "What father among us, if our son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if our child asks for an egg, you'll give that child a scorpion?" He said, "You're evil and you would never do such a thing." Then he says, "If this is the way you treat your children and you've got this sin nature, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good things, even the Holy Spirit, to them that ask?" Okay, let's pause right here. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you asked God for the Holy Spirit? Jesus says that the third person of the triune God can be with us, dwell in us, influence us, lead us. But Jesus says, these good things are available to those that ask. When is the last time you ask God for the Holy Spirit? God is not a mafia hitman. Okay? God is not a cosmic cowboy who goes around zapping people. That's not the way it works. God is a loving, gentle, heavenly Father who uses the art of persuasion to get people to do His will, who woos people in accordance with His love to get His purpose accomplished in the earth. Here's the way it is. God has made a world in which free decisions are necessary in order for there to be real love. And God thought real love was important enough and big enough and satisfactory enough that God took the risk of love for you and for me and for God's self. I love the story of the old man who got caught in a flood. He was a very religious man. And so the water is rising and he goes on top of his house to pray. And he's praying that God will save him from the flood. Well, after so long, a neighbor paddles by in a canoe. And the neighbor says, "Hey, Joe, come on down. Get in the canoe and we'll paddle to safety." And Joe says, "No, I believe in God. God will save me. Hallelujah." An hour passes, and the police come by in a boat. And the police say, "Hey, sir, would you come down from the roof of your house? It's up to your knees. Climb in, we'll paddle to safety." And Joe says, "No, I believe in God. God will save me." Another couple hours pass. FEMA sends a helicopter. And the people call out over the loudspeaker, "Hey, grab the rope and we'll pull you to safety." And the water is up to his neck. And the guy says, "No, I believe in God. Hallelujah. God will save me." Well, Joe dies. And he's standing there before God, and Joe is bitter. "God, why did you not save me? I trusted in you." And God says, "Well, Joe, I sent a canoe. I sent a boat. I even sent a helicopter. And you didn't get in." I think we have to stop going around. I have to stop going around saying, "Well, there's evil in the world because God allows it." It paints God out like God is up there. God could do something about it, but just doesn't. If you think about it, it's really kind of cruel. But we go around asking this question, "God, why do you allow this kind of stuff to happen?" And the whole time I think God is looking at us and God is saying, I've been thinking about asking you the same question. Why do you let all of this stuff happen in the world? Evil happens because we do not ask God for the Holy Spirit, because we are unwilling to do God's will.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.